All right, if you take your Bible tonight and turn Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30, we're going to look at another one of Satan's sly lies that a lot of Christians believe, and that's, now that I'm a Christian, I'm not going to suffer any pain. Philippians 1, verse 29, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." I have a friend who lives on the other side of the state who started pastoring a church in that area, a very small church, about 38 years ago. He pastored the church for over 33 years. The church grew quickly. He was in a county that was about the fifth fastest growing county in the state of Georgia. They probably had to build about $20 to $30 million worth of buildings just to house the people that were coming on Sundays and Wednesdays. About 4 years ago, he got some bad news about one of his children. Child had been a little bit rebellious, had some mental issues, and then in the child's 30s, she killed herself. Former director, executive director of the Southern Baptist Convention, had pastored large churches, powerful preacher. He had one child that rebelled, and then in her 30s, she killed herself. One of the megachurch pastors that I went to seminary with started his church almost 40 years ago. He had a son who was rebellious, had some mental issues. And in just a couple of years ago, his son committed suicide. Now, I want you to know all of these pastors and their families were high-profile Christians. Believers and non-believers might say, "What kind of God do you have that would allow something like that to happen to your family?" Now, some Christians think, now that I'm a Christian, I'm not going to experience pain of suffering. That's just another sly lie of Satan. You and I know that as a believer, that's a lie to discourage us. And when he comes to us in a time of difficulty, Satan will say to us, "If you were a real Christian, you wouldn't be having these problems." And Satan would whisper to us that if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't be resentful. If you were a real Christian, you wouldn't be depressed. So he wants to bind us and keep us from being what God wants us to be. You see, the Bible teaches God does not deliver us from problems. He can if he desires. He doesn't deliver us from pain. He delivers us through pain. One of the men who loved God the most was the Apostle Paul. Yet he's the one that gave us some of the descriptions of suffering that's beyond our imagination. He suffered simply for preaching Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. In verse 29 and 30, Paul says, "I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through pain." And he said, "I see many of you have also been called to suffer on behalf of Christ, and I see you're going through pain as well." Have you noticed when the stock market is high, all of a sudden on some of the networks and some of the liberal politicians will say, "I think we see signs of recession." They want you to fear. They want you to experience pain. When you watch television, let me ask you a question. How many advertisements do you see for pain relief medicine? America's in pain. One of the poorest commercials that I've seen on TV is for Doane's Pills. There's a guy who's slightly overweight, who's a left-handed golfer, and his golf partners are daring him to hit the ball real long and swing very hard. And if you've seen the commercial, he swings and he misses the ball about that far. His body uncoils and he lands on his back. then they put down at the caption down there, and you hear them say, it's time for Doane's pills. Bad commercial. I want you to see that those products are put out there, and sometimes those things are the answer, but they're very temporary. And we want to see the real reason for our pain. We want to see the real answers to our pain and the lasting answers to our pain. So, first of all, let's see about pain, why it is allowed in our lives. First of all, is to stir us to reach our full potential. I want you to notice that, first of all, that God allows pain, you want to write this down, to motivate us. When we read what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 20, verse 30, he says, sometimes, this is just a paraphrase, it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. I don't know many of you who probably enjoy going to the dentist. I had to have 22 teeth pulled. I had to have 5 cut out by surgery that were impacted. I don't particularly enjoy going to the dentist. Now I'll go, but I want a dentist who is generous with pain medicine. Some people don't want to go to the dentist on a regular basis. They detest the drill so bad, they'll get in pain and wait until it's an emergency until they'll get something done about it. Well, God uses pain to motivate us whenever He wants to change us. He wants to get us out of that rut. He wants to motivate us to pray, to motivate us to believe on Him. And so God allows pain. We think about the prodigal son. When did he come to himself? When did the prodigal son decide, my life needs to change? It was when he was involved in the most despicable job at the time, and that was feeding pigs in his day. He had given out of money, he had wasted his inheritance, and he was even eating the pods that he was feeding to the hogs. I think perhaps no other preacher has moved a generation in America as a man named Dr. George W. Truett of Dallas, Texas. He had a very simple eloquence about him. He moved great congregations. However, behind the depths of his consecration, the secret of his power was a personal tragedy. When he was young, he went on a hunting trip with his best friend. Somehow his gun accidentally went off and shot his friend. They had to take his friend to the hospital. His life was in the balance. Truett was pastoring a church at this time. He invited his church to join him in praying that this friend's life would be spared. But his friend died. He went to his wife and he said, I can never go into the pulpit to preach God's word again. Seeing his friend die was just too much for him. He thought he was unworthy to minister to people ever again because of that accident. And one night he laid down not long after this took place, and he said, I had this dream, I had this vision. And he said, on this Saturday night when I fell asleep, he said, it was just like a voice was saying, you're my man from now on. He woke up and told his wife. He went back to sleep. He had the same dream, the same vision. You're my man from now on. Went back to sleep a third time. The exact same thing happened. And when he went back preaching again, God used him in a mighty way. And they said when people would come to hear him preach, not even knowing about that experience, here's what people say. Truett is truly God's man. Suffering oftentimes is the instrument by which God makes us into mighty and usable vessels. God uses pain to stir us. Second thing I want you to write down is God uses pain to shape us. God allows pain to mold us. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't understand all there was about Alzheimer's until I had to take care of my mother who had Alzheimer's. I didn't know what it was all about for somebody to have pancreatic cancer until we had my mother-in-law in my home and then on hospice, and then she died in Delaine's arms. I had been with people in the hospital who had that kind of cancer, but I never understood it until it was in my home. God allows pain to mold us. Malachi 3, verse 2 and 3. We read about God as a refiner of silver and a refiner of gold. The Bible says He will be like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now, when they purify silver and gold, they heat it up. They build a pretty hot fire underneath the pot. And all those impurities come to the top, and they skim the top of that melted silver and gold, and they get all the dross out of there, and they mold it into something precious and something beautiful. I was reading the other day that if you take a little piece of metal, it might be worth about $3 or $4. You take that piece of metal and you melt it and mold it into horseshoes, they might be worth about $10 a piece. I'm sure there's inflation with that too. So if you take a little piece of metal and you turn it into springs like fit in a watch, that bar of steel is worth $250,000. Same size bar, all three cases. Seems the more heat, the more shaping and molding, the more expensive it is. Listen, God turns the heat up in our life. God has turned the heat up so much you think you can't stand it. He's in the business of purifying us. God's working. And the truth is, the insight is, that we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. We say, how can I get rid of this heat? Well, God says, we'll get rid of that heat when I've molded you to be what I want you to be. Psalm 119, verse 71. The punishment you gave me was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. They're more valuable to me than millions in silver and gold. Now, all of us love to have millions in silver and gold, but did you know that right here, he says, we've got the Word of God. And the psalmist said, when God turned the heat up in his life, he said, I returned to your laws, and they began to mold me. I began to pay attention to your law. I said, Lord, I have broken some of these, and I need to get back to them, and I need to find out what you're trying to tell me to do through this pain. I've had several people say to me, said, Pastor, I've taken up your challenge for the new year. I said, 3 minutes or 5 minutes? They said, reading 3 to 5 minutes in the Word of God every day. Well, let's get started somewhere. Isn't it amazing when you're in the Word of God every single day that you seem to walk with a little more boldness? I'm not saying pride. I'm not saying being cocky. But you walk with a little more boldness and a little more peace because God has spoken to you and prepared you to face things in that day. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Let God train you, for He's doing what any loving father does for his children. People do a disservice to their children when they become their friend and will not dare to discipline and correct their children. We have some like that in this modern age, but most of the people here discipline their children, not because you like to do it. We don't like to do it, but we discipline children because we love them. The problem is, today people are more concerned about image than they are about character. When you get in enough pain, you're not concerned about image anymore. You're just wanting relief, and you begin to find out, what is that you're supposed to learn from that problem, from that circumstance? And God begins to mold our character, so God allows pain to get our attention. He uses suffering in our lives. It's through suffering that Peter says, God perfects, establishes, strengthens, and settles us. As one Christian says, you've heard this many, many times, Christians are like tea. their real strength is not drawn out until they get into hot water. And then another thing he does is he surveys us. God allows pain to measure us. Isaiah 48:10. God says, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. God allowed the nation of Israel to be placed in the furnace, and he turned up the heat. And God said, I'm testing you. That's what I'm doing. And look at what the New Testament says. Do Christians have trials? Turn on late night television. There's some happy preachers on there. Don't you love the guy that's on there that is always talking to you about the seed? You're going to have to plant the seed. And that seed is a $100 bill. And you need to send that $100 bill to me. He's on all night. I've been up at strange times at night, turn on the TV, and there he is. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, there he is. Who pays for his TV time? Those $100 seeds these fools are sending into him. And then you got the health wealth guys. You know, if you're not healthy and wealthy, your faith is not strong enough in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, these health wealth preachers do not deal with James chapter 1 verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you what? Face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Why would God allow these faithful believers to suffer and even be killed for Christ and then spare you and I from the pain of suffering? People used to, you know, I've had people through the years say, God, why is this allowed to happen to me? Listen, I don't have that answer. Somebody else saw it from another perspective. He said, why not? Why not me? I remember when I was growing up, my mother's mother and her husband had 3 boys, and mom and dad had 2 boys and 1 girl, and our ages kind of matched up. Well, David was my age. We got together at my grandmother's or wherever we were. You know, we'd kind of pair off with those first cousins according to age. Well, when I was in the 11th grade, David was in the 11th grade. David came down with leukemia. Shortly after graduation, we had his funeral. That just didn't seem fair. My uncle and aunt lived over in Snellville, Georgia, and I remember just a few weeks before she died, I went over to assisted living to see mom's sister, and she said, though it's been over 50 years ago, she said, you never get over burying your child. Businessman said one time he lost his job because the boss wanted him to do some unethical and unbiblical things in that job. He finally, this went on for quite some time, and finally he went to the boss and said, look, I don't have a job, but he says, I'm going to resign. I just refuse to participate in these illegal business practices. I want you to know, he had given up that job 2 weeks. Newspaper came to his house. He opened the newspaper one morning after he'd been gone for 2 weeks. He read in the paper where all the management of that company had been indicted by the government and were facing jail time, and that the feds had had them under secret investigation. Had he stayed with that company, he would have gone to jail. God was protecting him. Yes, it hurt when he lost a job. It hurt when he had to leave the company. It hurt when he gave up a big salary. But God was protecting him because he was suffering for doing what was right. And then God allows pain in our lives to sustain us. God uses pain to minister to us. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then we like to quote Romans 8:28, but listen closely to it. We know that in all things, that's suffering and trials, That's crisis. God works for the good of those who love him. Ladies and gentlemen, that includes pain. That would mean pain. Now, here's insight. Somebody wrote, God's love shines brightest in life's darkest hour. Pain's an opportunity for God to put his arm around you and bring you close to himself and say, I know you're brokenhearted. I know you're disappointed. I know you wonder how you can make it another day. I know you're suffering. And I know you think you can't live past this because your dreams are shattered. But I care for you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love the story about Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. He was on one of his journeys on a ship. And this ship was sort of drifting a little bit towards one of those cannibal islands. Hudson Taylor was in his quarters, and the captain of the ship came and knocked on his door, and he said, the captain wasn't a believer, but he said, Taylor, could you do something? Said, could you pray to your God? Said, we need some wind here stirred up so we don't wind up crashing into this cannibal island. Hudson Taylor said, since it's calm outside and you want wind, I'll be glad to pray for wind. But he said, Captain, go raise the sails. I'm not going to pray unless you raise the sails. And the captain said, I'll be a laughingstock among my crew to raise the sails when the ocean is perfectly calm. He said, raise the sails. I'm not praying. Captain went on deck, ordered the sails to be raised. Hudson Taylor's praying down in his quarters. It wasn't but just a few minutes. Captain came down, knocked on Hudson Taylor's quarters and said, Taylor, are you praying for wind? He said, yes, sir. He said, stop. We got more wind than we can handle. I love that. Strong faith says set sails. Strong faith believes in the ability of God and the reliability of his promises. The other reason we suffer and experience pain is God wants to sanctify us. God uses pain to mature us. James chapter 1 verse 4 says, so let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. Pain never leaves you where it found you. The insight is while pain never leaves you where it finds you, it'll either make you bitter or it's going to make you better depending on how you respond. The pain you're going through right now will make you better. David, as a shepherd boy, grew up rejected by his dad. And you remember, they placed David way out in a shepherd's field so he couldn't mess up anything. He grew up rejected by his father. People said to David, you'll never amount to anything. So he knew hurt, he knew pain, he knew bitterness, he knew rejection. And yet it didn't make him bitter the rest of his life, because God used David to pen some of the most powerful psalms that you'll read in the Old Testament. And he became a man after God's own heart. I read a story about a little 2-year-old boy with leukemia, and his name was David. By the way, this is just parenthetical. I don't believe in all this faith healing. I believe God can heal anybody he wants to heal. But it's amazing to me that so many people think it has to be a production. And if you're a faith healer and you really had that kind of gift, why don't you come with me down to Children's Hospital of Atlanta? You just walk down the halls and you see those children that are having to go through chemotherapy and they're having to go through radiation. And some of them having brain surgeries. Some of them can't walk. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you just go in there for free? This little boy had leukemia at the age of 2. So his parents took him to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see a Dr. Truman, who specialized in the treatment of blood diseases with children. After he examined David, Dr. Truman said, "You got a 50-50 chance of living." Well, they went to clinics, they did blood tests, they did treatments. They had all the fear and all the pain going on. And when David turned 3, he had to have a spinal tap. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a spinal tap is a painful procedure. I don't care what age you are. I remember when Delaine was in medical college, she used to have to assist in bone marrows. And she said that was the one thing she hated the most because it inflicted so much pain. But it was explained to this little boy that since he was sick, that Dr. Truman had to run this test to make him better. And here's what his mother told him. "If it hurts, remember it's because the doctor loves you and wants to help you." The day of the test, they got little David prepared. He screamed with pain. He sobbed. And listen, he's 3 years old. It took 3 nurses to hold him still so the doctor could complete this test. They said when they finished, his body was soaked in tears and sweat. And when the nurses let him go, he looked up and said, "Thank you, Dr. Toomey, for my hurting." There's a purpose in our hurting. God may have allowed it. He loves us and only wants to protect that which is needed in our lives. And there's a reason for our suffering. We pastors wind up in some tough situations with people. We wish we could have a remote control and make things better. But I know when I've walked through some bad divorces with people, I've walked through some cancer situations, I've walked through some heart situations, people that bodies have been mangled by wrecks and they're trying to put them back together through surgery and go through rehab. Sometimes I tell people, you know, there's not a why answer for this on this side of heaven. But one thing I do know, that if you'll walk with God through your pain and through your suffering, that doesn't mean you're going to be totally healed. You might not. But if you'll walk with God through the pain and suffering, God's going to put people in your path later on in life who are going through like suffering that you've experienced. And God will use you to be an encouragement to those people. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through something that's a crisis, I want to talk to somebody who's been there. My dad was just a old farm boy and a blue-collar worker with the phone company. He had his heart attack when he was 55 years old, and he smoked 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. I think if you worked at the phone company, it was required that you smoke at least 2 packs a day. Dad was a great Christian man, very humble man. He's a man of prayer, but I remember when I went to see him in the holding area in ICU before they took him down for his surgery. Now, you understand, this surgery had just been approved. And 2 of the men, Dr. Lionel Zumbro and Dr. Fibash, had helped develop bypass surgery. Now, back in those days when you had your major heart attack, they'd stabilize you and send you home and let you rest for 2 or 3 weeks before they did the surgery on you. How dumb is that? But we didn't know any better. But I talked to him there the day before the surgery. I said, "Daddy, if you die, what you think?" He said, "Well, if I die, I'm going home to be with the Lord. If not, I'm going to keep being your dad." But I want you to know that he did so well that his cardiologist, Dr. Cundy — by the way, Dr. Cundy is 85, Kevin, and still practicing cardiology in Augusta, Dr. Cundy was so impressed with my dad's faith and how well he did. Dad would be at the phone company about 3 o'clock in the afternoon working. He'd get a call from Dr. Cundy. Dr. Cundy would say, I've got a Mr. Jones or a Mr. Smith in room 1192 at University Hospital, and he's scared to death. We're doing coronary bypass on him tomorrow. Could you stop by on your way home? So a dad would come in. You know, they always show their scar. And then Dad would tell him about his faith, tell him about the procedure, and let him know there's life after bypass surgery. Dad's bypasses, he was told, would last 7 years. They'll blow out and you'll die. Daddy had one stent put in and made it 32 years. My brother-in-law had to go in November to Dr. Cundy's office to get cleared cardiac-wise for his back surgery. Dr. Cundy, 85, is still practicing. And his son, who's much younger, is in practice. My brother-in-law got assigned to Dr. Cundy, older Dr. Cundy. And Dr. Cundy had a personality about like the side of this pulpit right here. But when my brother-in-law got in there, he said, Dr. Cundy, you were my father-in-law's cardiologist. He said, who's your father-in-law? He said, his name's Paul May. He said, oh, that's one of the best patients I've ever had in my practice. And he was able to use him to minister to people in the pain and the suffering of heart disease, as somebody who would encourage them in their rehab and in their faith. Let me ask you, going through some kind of pain right now? There's no explanation for it. God has a ministry for you, yet future. Just be ready. Let's pray together.